I am on the second Sunday of a brief, but I believe potentially life-changing series on what I have called the 724 Challenge. Now, the 724 Challenge is simply stated as follows. 7 days a week, I will spend at least 24 minutes each day interacting with God through His Word. And I believe that it has the potential to change your life because in the last 11 years, it has changed and it is changing my life. Last week was out of Matthew chapter 7, and we're back there today. So if you have a copy of Scriptures with you and would want to open that copy of Scriptures, get it open to Matthew 7. I'm going to read it, but not for just a moment or two. Last week, we kind of laid the foundation for what I'll be doing today and a week from today. And we looked at this passage of Scripture, and in looking at this passage of Scripture, we read about a wise man and a foolish man. And every one of us need to address in our own heart and life whether or not we're wise or whether or not we're foolish. But we learned something from those brief scriptures. Number one, we learned last week that if I am going to be transformed, if I'm going to have a rock solid faith and life, it will not come as a consequence of my circumstances. So if you're going through a bad time, it's not an excuse for saying, well, I can't become more like Jesus. If you're going through a good time, it can't be used as an excuse. It's not consequences, because the rain fell on the wise and the foolish. And the water and the floods came up against the wise and the foolish, and they beat on the house. It wasn't consequences. You say, well, if it's not consequences, then what determines whether my life will be built on the rock? And the answer is this: it will come as a consequence of my choices. It'll come as a consequence of your choices, and I'll unpack that a little more even today and then next week. So Matthew 7, I hope you have that before you. Let's look at verse 24 and following. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I want to see you do what you want to do in this hour. And Father, as we've talked together about this hour, I'm praying for one person. I'd be delighted if there's a lot of folks that respond, but one person that will so catch hold of this that they'll look back for the rest of their life and say, that was my turning point. Father, I pray that you will guide and you will guard what I say so that it will be what you want. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Everyone who is a parent, for that matter, everyone who has been a child, that ought to get all of us, huh? But every one of us understand that there is hearing and there is hearing. You know what I'm talking about. You have somebody, maybe it's a husband or maybe it's a wife, but you're talking and you say, you're not listening to me. And they say, oh yes, I've heard every word you said. But that other person thinks, no, they were not hearing. I want to ask you a question. Are you hearing from God personally on a regular basis. You say, I didn't even know that I could. Yes, you can, because this is God's word written. Now, I'm going to say that again so I get an amen out of this group. Okay, everybody ready? Kind of get some wind in. This is God's word written. Well, yes, it is. Whether you say amen or not, it is. So, but I'm glad for you to kind of affirm that. And so I believe from the depths of my heart that God intends to communicate with his people through his word. If that's true, what's wrong with our hearing? What is it that hinders us from hearing well? Why is it that in our churches there are people that if they were honest would say, I don't feel like I've heard from God in a long time. And when I did hear from God, it was because somebody was teaching or preaching and I was listening. But, oh, my Father wants to have a more intimate relationship with you than that. My Father wants to speak to you right where you are, right at your point of need. And he wants to do that regularly. What hinders it? Let me quickly give you four things that hinder it. If you're a note taker, you can jot them down. But if you're not, just pay attention. Here's what I know. I know that sin hinders our hearing. So if I've got unconfessed and unforsaken sin in my life, the Bible teaches me in Isaiah chapter 59 that God will not hear. Not only that, if I've got unconfessed and unforsaken sin, I probably won't be doing much listening, much hearing of God. And I certainly won't be doing much praying. Sin. And listen, if you're going through a time where you don't hear from God in his word, then examine yourself under that spotlight of the Holy Spirit and see if there is known, unconfessed, unforsaken sin in your life. It will simply hinder your spiritual hearing. There's a second thing that will hinder your spiritual hearing, and that's distraction. How many of you know that we live in a distracted generation? I'm telling you what. I carry these things too, but they can be distracting, can't they? They tell me even in the workplace, the computer screen, the phone, whatever it may be, is sapping us of productivity in our land because people get started on a task and immediately they get distracted. Now listen to me. Satan has his doctorate in distraction. Satan always knows how to put thoughts in your mind that distract you, that cause something to happen with a child or with a spouse or whatever it is, and you meant to spend time in the Word, you meant to listen to him, but you just got distracted. I think Jesus might have been talking about that in the parable of the soils, in particular Matthew 13:22, where Jesus said, "Now he who received seed," that's the Word of God, "he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word," now watch this, "and the cares of this world." I don't have to ask if you have those. Everybody in this room has those cares, okay? "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful." Distraction just causing people not to be able to stay properly focused. So you have sin, you have distraction. How you doing? How you doing? Is that true in any of our lives? And then number three, improper priorities. Improper priorities. Hear me now. Hear me carefully. Every person under the sound of my voice will find time to do what's most important to them. If golf is most important to you, you're going to find time to golf. If watching sports, now that some is back on the air, if that's most important to you, you're going to carve out the time. If it's fishing, if it's lazy boy reclining, whatever it may be, we find time for that which is most important. If you are not finding time for the Word of God, it may be because you do not value that word sufficiently. The reality is that those improper priorities will make us hard of hearing. I don't know if any of you remember the name Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff had a home for girls down in Texas, I believe it was, and I would hear him on the radio, and I remember hearing him one time. I think he was talking to young pastors, and he said something like this. He said, I stood before these young pastors, and I said, I'm challenging you this next week. Memorize a chapter of God's Word. And he said, I know what some of you are going to say. Some of you are going to say, I could not do that if my life depended on it. I couldn't memorize a chapter. But he said, this Lester, he said, if I offered you $100, some of you would come up, some of these same ones that said you couldn't do it, you'd come up and say, can I do two this week? You understand, priorities is what we're dealing with here. And improper priorities will keep us away from the Word of God. Mark Batterson in his book, All In, said this, we Facebook more than we seek His face, we text more than we study the text, and our eyes aren't fixed on Jesus, they're fixed on iPhones and iPads, emphasize the I. Talking about improper priorities. So sin makes it hard for us to hear God, distractions make it hard for us to hear God, and then improper priorities. Last one, and then we go to the meat of what I want to share with you today. But the last one is simply this, an unsurrendered self. Now, I'll tell you how that works out in practical experience. It's those people who are saying, Hey, God, tell me what you want me to do. And then I'll decide if I'm going to do it or not. And I will tell you something, friend. God is not very responsive to an unsurrendered self. I believe we have to come to that place that we'll say, Lord, anytime, anywhere, any way, whatever you want from me, my answer is yes. Even before I hear, I open my word on a daily basis and I want to hear from God and I need to surrender first. Deal with sin, deal with distractions, deal with priorities, and deal with yourself. Whether or not you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. Now, having said that, for the remainder of my time with you today and then next week, I'm going to share with you four ways that you can position yourself to hear. I think this can make a radical difference in your life. It's still making a difference in mine. So four ways you can position yourself to more accurately hear and to more consistently hear from Almighty God. So, again, if you have a means of doing so, make a note. If not, just follow me because, quite honestly, it's not going to be at all hard to remember. How can I more consistently and correctly hear God? Just two this week, two next week. You ready? Number one, listen slowly. Now, you may think when I say listen, I mean listen to the preacher. That's not really it. Here's what I'm dealing with. Many, many people, if I met them and they were honest, would say, yeah, I read my Bible. Okay. But some of us have a checklist mentality. Got to get my five chapters in today. Got to get my, follow my plan that I got off online or wherever it was. I got to do that. And so we zip on through our reading. And if you're like me, when I approach it that way, you know what happens? I'll read about 10 verses and realize I don't even remember that long what I just read. Moving right along. Reading a lot. But I've got to learn to slow down. It is a discipline of life to slow down. Speed reading the Bible can kill your spiritual life. Slow down. Take your time with the Word of God. Let it be a listening exercise, not simply a reading exercise. Always remember this. How much I hear from God is more important than how much I read the Bible. Did you get that? How much I hear from him. Dallas Willard, one of the great minds, he's with Jesus now, in his book, Hearing God, he says this, "You may have been told that it is good to read the Bible through every year, and that you can ensure this will happen by reading so many verses per day from the Old and New Testaments. If you do this, you may enjoy the reputation of one who reads the Bible through each year, and you may congratulate yourself on it. But will you become more like Christ and more filled with the life of God?" Dallas Willard says, "It is a proven fact that many who read the Bible in this way, as if they were taking medicine or exercising on a schedule, do not advance spiritually." Now, this next line that I'm going to read you, you need to pay attention to. He says, "It is better in 1 year to have 10 good verses transferred into the substance of our lives than to have every word of the Bible flash before our eyes." I want you to understand something. It is a wonderful thing to read your Bible through. I am on track, I believe, to do that. I finished Hosea today. And I think I probably will. But it's not my objective. My objective is to get up every day of my life, go into the sunroom of our home, put my wife's dog on my right, that's Jack, my boy on the left, that's Jimmy. They are my devotional buddies. And to be able to hear God on a daily basis. And if I get through a chapter, great. If I get through two, which is I did this morning, that's great. But it's not what I'm there for. I am there to receive a word from God. And folks, do you understand this? You don't live by bread alone. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There is a direct correlation between your eating of God's word and the appetite that comes through eating and your spiritual progress and your spiritual growth. Now, I'm aware that not all of you learn best by reading. I understand different learning styles. I'm a reader. I read, therefore I am, I say sometimes. I started young. Before I was ever in school, I learned to read. And my siblings, I'm the baby of 9 children, 7 that survived infancy. And my siblings said that if I had nothing else to read, I would read the back of cereal boxes. I had to read, and I still do. I love to read. But I'm aware that some people do not. You say, if I'm not a great reader, am I left out of this spiritual growth, hearing God stuff? No, 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 no. See, here are some things you can do. One, you may be an oral learner. Therefore, listen to God's Word. And you can find that in so many places. And if you need to, you can buy the CDs or whatever of that. But most of us now can get that out in multiple translations, read out loud to us off of our phones or off of our computers. So listen to God's Word. You say, well, now I'm not very tech savvy. I just don't do much of that stuff. So what do I do? How about this? Take a 3x5 note card. Write one good scripture on it that you've got, that you're aware of. And then hold that before you all through the week. Maybe put it on your refrigerator or on your mirror or in your automobile. But take that scripture and just live with that on a regular basis. Because when you do that, then it can be there in your mind. If you can't do any of those things, here's my word to you. Think about Jesus all the time. Just put Jesus on your mind and get filled with Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But I'm telling you that God can still speak to your heart, even apart from His Word, if you've set your mind on things above. But too many of us spend all of our time with our things, mind on things below. You say, what do I listen for? Listen, I am wanting to equip you. I'm wanting to train you. I'm wanting to prepare you, not only for your new pastor who will come one of these days, but prepare you to hear from God on a daily basis. You say, Pastor, for what do I listen? How can I expect God to speak to me? And if He does, what will He say? Listen to what Paul said. He wrote this to Timothy. He was a seasoned ministry practitioner. Timothy, a younger man, and he said this to Timothy. Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that means? God breathed. He breathed out the scripture. Holy Spirit inspiring men to write it down. He said, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't miss that. This is useful. It's useful in at least four ways, and he tells us what they are. It's useful to teach us what is true. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's useful to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It is useful to correct us when we are wrong and teach us to do what is right. So you go to God's Word and you're saying, Lord, if I'm thinking correctly, help me to live accordingly. If I'm thinking incorrectly, help me to change the way I'm thinking. If I'm acting profitably, then help me to keep doing that. And if I'm acting unprofitably, help me to stop. But I want you to notice that what he said at the end of that, to equip his people to do every good work. Don't miss this. The outcome of good listening is good works accomplished for God's glory. Can I say that again? The outcome of good listening, it's not pride. You don't say, oh man, I'm hearing from God every day. No, the outcome of good listening is good works accomplished for God's glory. And that's exactly what God is wanting to do. But for that to happen, I want you to understand something. You got to listen slowly. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. She's in my generation. I don't know her age. She sat under my preaching for several years. I saw her after I had transitioned from that responsibility at McAllister's. By the way, God speaks to me in eating establishments. I'm just saying. But anyway, I was at McAllister's that day, and I saw her talking with a lady, and I went by and said hi. And she said, I want to tell you something. I said, okay. She said, I was raised in a pastor's home, and the Word of God was used regularly. We had family devotions. It was good. And when I got older, I began to read my Bible regularly. And I went to Bible college. And I was on staff in a church. But she said, after I heard you say, listen slowly, everything has changed for me. She got off that treadmill of doing so much so fast, and she slowed down. And guess what she found out? When she slowed down, when she listened slowly, she could hear what she had missed when she was moving too quickly. Listen slowly. If you want to hear well, listen slowly. Now that's the first of four. Now the second, and the next two wait for next week. Are you ready for the second? Everybody say yes. Okay, so here's the second. Don't miss it. Think deeply. You say, what do you mean by that? Okay, so you're reading along in your Bible, and you see a verse, and somehow inside you, you know, I need to pay attention to that. It may just be a phrase. Sometimes for me, it's a single word. And using the language of a lady named Marilyn McIntyre, I push the pause button. I just stop. And I begin to ask myself, why is the Holy Spirit prompting me to stop on that? And then I think deeply. I think it's incredibly important. I think deeply about what I'm hearing. A man named Mark Knoll wrote a book in 1991 called The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind. Listen, he says, and I quote, "The scandal of the evangelical mind is that there is not much of an evangelical mind." You understand what he was saying? He was saying people aren't thinking deeply and well. They are responding without thinking. We oftentimes live on autopilot as we go about our days and weeks. We seldom reflect on anything that is happening to us, through us, or around us. We fail to think deeply, and especially we fail to think deeply about the Word of God. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 1? He talked about a wise and a blessed man, and he said this, and in his law, that's God's law, in his law he meditates day and night. That meditating, that's the cow chewing its cud. That is the dog worrying with a bone to get the marrow out of that bone. And we've got to take time if we are going to hear God. We've got to take time to make sure that we are not only listening slowly, we're thinking deeply. Sometime back, I was reading in the book of Psalms, which I love, and in Psalm 31:5, I found these words. I'm just reading along. See me there on my couch. I'm reading along, and I come to these words. In Psalms, Psalm 35:1, into your hands I commit my spirit. Guess where my mind immediately jumped? To the cross of Jesus Christ. You remember the story? He's on the cross. He's about to breathe his last. His breath is almost gone. And he says to his Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I started thinking about that. And when I was thinking about that, I realized when Jesus said that on the cross, it wasn't the first time he said it. He had memorized that scripture probably when he was a boy. And I thought to myself, that may be his life verse. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. That may be in his Monday prayer, his Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday prayer. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then my mind took this turn and it touched my life and I still have it today. And here's what it was. Our daily words will be our dying words. What we're saying day after day is what we may very well be saying when we die. And if day after day we're saying, Father, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Then on our dying day, we may say the same thing. Our daily words may be our dying words. Deep truths must be mined down into the depths of God's Word. And that takes time. Wisdom comes not from the microwave, but from the simmering crock pot. Listen slowly. Think deeply. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, oh, listen. Rarely do we find men, or women I would add, who willingly engage in hard, solid thinking. There is an almost universal quest for easy answers and half-baked solutions. Nothing pains some people more than having to think. And if you doubt that, get on Facebook. Get on Facebook. It's amazing how much is there and how little thought has gone into it. All you got to do is share. You don't have to take the time to think, is this true? You don't have time to take the time to say, have I researched this? No. It's got to be true. It's on Facebook. I'm starting to block some good people because I just don't have the time to read and to watch all of those videos, especially, hey, this is my pet peeve, especially those who say, read this before they take it down. Maybe it's true, but I'm not reading it, so don't send it. I'm just saying, we got to think. You got to think. You listen slowly. You think deeply. Now remember the 7-24 challenge. 7 days a week, I'll spend at least 24 minutes each day. I'll spend that 24 minutes each day interacting with God through His Word. I brought my notebook along with me today. This is what I use, just happens to be what I use. And this morning, as I told you, I was in the last two chapters of Hosea. And so I've got my notes from that. And I'm just going to share with you one of these. Listen to what it says. This is Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. I'm reading along. And I read these words. But when they had grazed, and that's the language of cattle, but it's speaking about people, and in the NIV it'll say, when they were fed, which by the way is a good thing. It said, when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore, they forgot me. Man, I pushed the pause button because I saw a downward trend there, and I don't want it in my life. And here's what I thought. I thought, it's not just bad things that hurt me. It's good things that are that I allow to lead me away from God. The very blessings of God can cause me to get proud, and then can cause me to forget God. I thought about it. By the way, one of the nice things about doing that kind of thing on a daily basis is you'll keep thinking about it. I came up here, I brought my notebook with me, and between the two services back in the office, I did another podcast. I do a podcast usually every day, sometimes 5 days a week. Go to HoseyBlueFamily.com. You'll find somewhere between 400 and 500 of those are a short form. So today was 2 minutes and something. Sometimes they'll be as much as 4 minutes or a little more. But I went in, and as I was getting ready to do that, I'm still thinking. And here's what I thought. I thought of a song of my youth. Paul Simon wrote it. Some of you'll know it. Slip Sliding Away. How many of you know the song? Yeah. The rest of you? It's okay. But it was a well-known song at that point in time. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. Seems the closer you get, the more you slip sliding away. And I thought of that, and I did my podcast, and that's what I called it, because I said, I think there are Christians who are allowing good things to make them slip, slide away, and they're forgetting God. Oh, how I commend you. By the way, this is perhaps the best number of in-house folks that we've had in a service. I am delighted that you're here. But I have this glorious burden that every one of you would begin to hear from God on a daily basis. From His Word. And if you're uncertain that you've heard correctly, check a bunch of translations. And if you're still uncertain, go to a godly man or woman that you know have been in the Word most of their life and say, hey, here's what I think I'm hearing from God. I think I'm hearing from Him that I'm supposed to slap you. And they'll say, no, that's not what that meant. And so you need to be careful on that. You need some help. And I do too. But I want you to know, here's what you do. You listen slowly. When you've come to something that kind of catches your attention, push the pause button. Think deeply. Now, we're going to add two more to that next week, and it's going to really tie the bow on this whole thing. But you can start today or tomorrow. Spend that time with God. Do not beat yourself up if you miss a day. Don't beat yourself up if it's 23 minutes instead of 24 or 20, whatever. Don't do that. That's not God's heart. It's not my heart. But I will tell you, consistency in God's Word will transform your life. And when you get started, you'll never want to stop. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for these good people. It's so much a joy to share Your Word with them and to see that they are listening. But Father, having said that, I want them to listen 7 days a week. It will just make Sunday the icing on that cake. Thank You again for loving us, and help us this week to sit at Your feet, listen slowly, think deeply. In Jesus' name, amen.